listening to the Mindful Biz podcast. I'm Alison Morgan, business coach at Relauncher. At the heart of Vive Cooking School is Jean-Luc Tan, a visionary with a deep-rooted commitment to igniting people's passion for real food. Jean-Luc's guidance, Vive embodies the values of generosity, togetherness, and the joy of cooking, making it a unique and vibrant hub for food enthusiasts that share a common idea that food brings us closer together. Jean-Luc's own background is steeped in the rich culinary traditions of his French-Cambodian heritage. His parents, who migrated to France after escaping the Cambodian Civil War in 1975, instilled in him a profound appreciation for food and the importance of family rituals. The family table became a sacred place where his parents found solitude and happiness despite their long working days. In this episode, we talk about the cooking school, logistics, hurdles, and business growth. Hi, Jean-Luc. Thank you so much for joining us here today. How are you?
Good. Pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
It's great. You know, I've actually been to your cooking school many times, so I'm excited to hear all about it. But before we talk about it, I'd love you to tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah, sure. So I was born and I grew up in France. I don't look French, a bit like a banana, I should say. My parents actually were war refugees. So they met in France and I was born there. And I grew up until I decided to move to Australia when I turned 19.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Did you do any travel before you came to Sydney, or you just was like, yep, that's the place I need to go?
So it's a funny story. So I was very blessed. I had parents who had business that involved traveling overseas quite a bit. And so we tagged along quite a bit as well. And so we traveled in different places. And Australia was one of the places we visited. And I just loved the place so much. And I was like, oh my God, this is where I want to be. Just a little bit of background. So as I said to you, my parents were war refugee. And when they came to France, they made a point to really make sure that both my sister, my brother and I would have that family set. So they made a ritual that food and dinner was to be, a family ritual, basically, almost an obsession, because whether they finished work at 5, 6, 7, or sometimes 10 o'clock, it didn't matter. We had to go and eat food together. And it was just amazing. And when I came to Australia, I was quite, the call of freedom, you know, like the surfing on the beach and so forth, not having the parents on my back was very appealing. And so to tell you the truth, when I brought my mom to the airport, in Sydney Airport, I was actually wearing my wetsuit. And I was like, you know what? Thank you so much for bringing me all the way to Australia. Yeah, go home, and I hop onto the train to secure the key, took the ferry to Manly, and I literally just bought a surfboard and surf my way to the Australian way.
No.
And I just felt like, wow, this is great, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, until the dinner time. So when dinner time came, I was just like, wow, I can just eat whatever I want, you know? I just felt a really deep sense of sadness and emptiness, and I just realized that I broke that tradition, and it just felt very I obviously missed my parents, but that family reunion, that family dinner was really important, and I just took it for granted. And so fast forward, you know, a couple of years down the track, when I had the opportunity to create Vive Cooking School. So the idea behind the school is very much about bringing people together, because the act of cooking is a communal act. And so when we have the opportunity to demystify cooking, to have fun cooking and sharing food at the dinner table with our loved one, with friends, with family. It's a real joy. It's a moment of happiness, a precious moment of happiness. And so this is what we tend to do at Viv, is really giving that gift to people. Hey, you guys can cook. And by the way, you can cook amazing food. And if you can share it with your friends, with your family, with your loved ones, take a breather at the dinner table and just appreciate what you just created, which is a moment of happiness.
Absolutely. So what year did you open the cooking school? Because I can remember coming when you just opened, and I'm just trying to remember, like, when was that?
That was 2016. So that would have been May 2016 or April, can't remember it. So almost 8 years, actually.
Yeah, and have you ever run workshops in there yourself, or is the idea that everyone else is running workshops?
I don't run a workshop myself. I love cooking, but I just have an amazing chef and team that comes together, and they're really not only just skillful, experienced, but also have the ability to share. I think that's far more important, to be able to share their passion, their knowledge. I currently have five resident chefs on board, and then a makeup of different chefs coming on board with me and with media events and things like this, so guest chef. Yeah, sometimes celebrity chef, as you've probably seen.
Yes, they're the workshops I've been to, where I've been for events. They're fabulous. They're so much fun. So for the listeners tuning in, because a lot of them won't even know about your place and what it's like, do you want to just explain in a nutshell what the cooking school is?
Yeah, sure. So the cooking school, Viv Cooking School, is located in the heart of the Canary in Rosebery, New South Wales, Sydney. And the kitchen is open to the public with different classes. We run 3 hours cooking classes. So we've got 23 different type of classes, ranging from Asian street food, ramen, French, Italian, you name it. We've got a fair amount of classes. And we also do a lot of corporating events. So it's a perfect activities for companies to come and bring their team along. We run 6 classes on average per week, our own classes, and then media event or corporate events as well.
Yeah. And so what's your role in the day-to-day running of the business?
At the moment, I'm kind of like the glue. So I do a lot of admin and sales, and I overlook the marketing side. And where I say I'm the glue is we have chef and assistant that run the classes, but sometimes they will have a bit of issue with like the orderings and so forth. So I'm just trying to make sure that everything comes together.
Yeah, I imagine there's quite a bit of logistics involved because, as you say, you know, you need all the food and supplies to come on time. Mm. Yeah, yeah.
And every event is different one to another. Even if we do the same classes, we have different requirements and so forth. So we're trying to be as flexible as possible, but also we understand that it's about bringing the best experience possible for our students and customers. So we just we adapt. Every event's different, so it requires different logistics, I guess.
Yeah. Do people book for the classes via your website?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. So we have a website, and this is pretty much where all the bookings are made, or inquiries for private events or gift card purchase, they all made through that website.
Yeah, actually, gift card purchase is a really good idea for Christmas. They are such great products. Yeah, interesting. So I imagine you're doing like a lot of networking in your role because you have so many interesting people come through. How is that for you?
Yeah, so to be honest with you, I'm just scraping the surface. So it's been great because the venue has been a great venue of choice for many media events, and we had the chance to have amazing chefs to come on board, celebrity chef, and amazing guests as well, like yourself. And so the, I guess we've been doing just a bit of reposting, and naturally that has actually grown the exposure of the school. But I think we've got so much more to offer. And, you know, there's a say, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. And so next year for us, the emphasis, like we're trying to focus and say, what can we really, instead of having just a passive relationship, more an active one, we can create values for both shared audience segments.
Yeah, that's exciting. That's really exciting. Have there been many hurdles in your business journey so far?
Yes.
There always is.
Yes.
Share?
Yeah, sure. So I think I just wanted to share a few that I think will be, of service for people and be maybe useful. So we actually almost went bankrupt twice by the beginning of when we started, because we didn't really know what we were doing. We were new kids in the in town, and the way we operated the school was just not right. And I think once you face those cash flow issues, you start to I was blessed and lucky enough to have an amazing team behind that were happy to stick and find solutions. They care about the business, they care about like what Veep meant. And so what we looked at is really learn about the operation. Every square inch of my business, I know how to run classes, even if I don't want to do it, but if one of our chefs had to not be able to turn to come to a class, I could technically do the class. I would know it. And it's important. And even like in terms of systems as well, we learned so much about how to implement system, how to gain efficiency, I guess, from that perspective. And I look at it from a perspective of, running a business, it's kind of like having your own dojo. Mm. So it's a great place where you can really learn about obviously business, but about yourself as well. I'm not the most organized person by nature. I'm more a creative person. And luckily my wife is an accountant, and she's very organized and so forth. So we both had to learn how to work together, because she's involved with the business. But it's also, for me, I had to grow up as a person, as in getting more organized, and so it's again like it's that growth of I've made some mistakes here, I recognize it, be easy on yourself, I guess, and just just go and learn from it. So yeah, so that was one of the problem we faced. We also we had a bit of a burnout, because you run and, the operation runs and, bankruptcy is behind you, like the risk of bankruptcy is behind you. And it's like, okay, well, running. And then sometimes it's just, you can lose yourself from this, this running and hustle. And so that's where we started to look into, efficiency and systemize the business better. But also in terms of communication, how do we communicate with a team, and how do we leverage technology in order to be able to improve that communication, because it's fundamental. Otherwise, companies are made of people, really. And if we don't know how to communicate one to another, it's just break down.
What are you using to communicate? Like, are you communicating via email or platform, or how do you find?
So we've got, three tools. First one is we use Asana a lot. So it's that collaborative task. So we've got our organization, we've got the front end, the back end. And basically between those two, the team have access to different channels, and we can say, hey, we're missing fronts, we're missing this and so forth, or we need to make sure that we organize a trace that is peanut free and so forth. So we use that Asana a lot. We also use Google Calendar a lot.
So do I.
Yeah, it's so much information, you know, between one event to another. So we have clearly stated who is running the class, who's assisting, also what's the menu, what are the requirements, and you know, like, are we sharing the station? Are we not sharing the station? So those are actually very important communication tools. And so we were very happy to embrace the idea of using technology and phones at a very early stage of the business, that which is, you know, it's second nature now for us. Mm. Yeah. So that's the second one. And we also use Front. So Front is a collaborative email tools. And again, it's like, okay, we've got events coming through. So the team that is on the ground and me at the sales level, we can see clearly, okay, this is what's happening and so forth. And even at the ordering, it's like, oh, something is missing. Oh, we can already check quickly with the suppliers. Okay, well, where's the problem and so forth.
That's good. Yeah. Isn't it great once you work out what systems you need, it just frees you up?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Because otherwise it's stressful, especially in your case where there's so much logistics involved, and a lot, like, small things can make a big impact in things going wrong.
Yeah. Oh. You nailed it, Alison. It's okay to make mistakes. We're all human, you know, and it's fine. But it's important to be mindful that in our line, a small things can have a domino effect on the whole experience. And, I mean, we've had almost 8 years of experience now. And so, even if things are not turning the way it needs to be, we find ways to adapt and so forth. But, in the first place, it's just being mindful of it. Mm.
What's the focus for the next 6 to 12 months?
I focus on the next 6 to 12 months. I think for us, it's going to be about going back to basic.
Right.
So I think we use an agency regarding our content. But what we realize is that it's important that when you do service and you have a certain expertise in the food or culinary world, it's a bit difficult to, unrealistic to expect an agency to have that nuances and understanding. So yeah. I think it's important that we take that back. So, and what I mean by that is, I think, content needs to be more, it needs to be closer to the team, and more authentic. I think that's important. Okay. But also it's about, what do we do with what we currently have, instead of like trying to reach out new spheres and so forth. It's about looking, you know, at what we have and saying, okay, well, we've got our current list. What can we do to enhance that the value we give to them? How do we improve hopefully the lifetime value of our customers? And I think it's going back to engagement and value and therefore content creation. That's going to be our big step.
Yeah, smart. I think that's really smart. I hear that all the time where people like will outsource, and then they'll get to a point they're like, we need to kind of bring it back in now, because so often you can actually do it better. But, you know, quite often at the time when you outsource, you actually have to outsource at that point because you're growing and you can't think, and it's like we're just better off handing it to experts, and then you systemize and get in more headspace and time and optimize the way you're working, and then you can bring it back in. Yeah, which is exactly what you're doing. Exciting.
Yeah. And then I think also, like, from a perspective of when it comes to data and things analytics, and there's probably definitely a space for agencies. But it's just, I think from a really like from a content creation perspective, it really needs to be brought back in house for sure.
Agree. So where can everyone find you?
So we've got a website, beefcookingschool.com.au. We also have an Instagram, so you can check at beefcookingschool.com.au. So those are the two platforms, and we also have a YouTube channel.
Excellent. So Viv, is it Viv or Viv? How do we pronounce it?
Viv. It's Viv Cooking School. Viv. So Viv Cooking School has two meanings. So the first one is if you think of Vive La France, so it's kind of like saying that Vive Cooking School.
Yes.
But it's also a tribute to my wife Vivienne. So it's a contraction of her name.
Clever. So Vive is spelled V-I-V-E Cooking School.
That's correct. .com.au.
.com.au. Excellent. All right then, Jean-Luc, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you so much, Alison. It was a pleasure to be here.